Welcome to After Dark with Rob and Andrew on America Out Loud, available on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, and Pandora, or head over to AmericaOutLoud.com for hours of listening content. I tell you, you won't be dissatisfied. And we appreciate if you would share the broadcast on social media or with your friends and family. Folks, tonight, I'm going at it solo because my co-host, Andrew, is ill. We don't know yet if Rona and her team of cousins, Omicron, Delta, or just Rona herself, have come in and visited with him, but hopefully he will be okay. We'll pray for him that things work out okay. As you know, I myself was visited by Rona and her cousins not too long ago, and I managed to kick the heck out of it. So they have since left me, and I'm not looking forward to them coming back, because I've been hearing that they have been making not one, not two, but oftentimes three visits. Can you believe it? And we were told by Resident Joe, if you take the vax, you won't get it. You're immune to it. Don't worry about it. That wasn't true. Not true at all, because I have spoken to too many people who've told me that they've gotten the virus. Not once, but twice. I know that this is a new virus and they're trying to figure it out. And this is like almost the second or the third year that we've been fighting this thing. But we've been getting so many mixed messaging as to what we need to do, what we don't need to do, what the vaccine will do, what the vaccine won't do. And I gotta say, it's confusing. And the liberal media, the propaganda arm of the Democrat Party, they're not helping it at all. They're spinning and twisting and doing everything besides following the science. And to me, that's the most important thing. And now we're up on a situation whereby the Supreme Court of the United States was hearing the legitimacy of Biden's corporation mandate that people have to take the vaccine, as well as healthcare providers. Now, in my humble opinion, we live in America. We have freedom of choice. I know this is a pandemic, but to force someone to take a vaccine or to put something in their body that they're against, it simply isn't fair. Now, I know some would say, but it's for the betterment of the country. We're trying to save people and we don't want this thing to spread. But even with the vaccines, we're finding out that people are still getting the virus. I had the vaccine, both vaccines, didn't get the booster. And yet and still, I got the virus. My son, who's all of 8, did not get the vaccine. He got the virus. He had minimal symptoms, just a fever all for half a day. His cousin, who's also 8, got the vaccine. He got the virus. I have tons of friends who've gotten all 3 vaccines, and they still got the virus. I know that they say that if you get the vaccine, that your symptoms won't be as harsh, or you'll be able to push through and it won't be as severe. I believe that. If you're within a certain category with your health. But I know some individuals who are in perfectly good health, they've got all 3 shots and they still had a rough time. So what exactly is going on here? What is the overarching theme that the Democrats, and I'll say the Democrats, what are they trying to push? There are conservatives like myself who support the vaccine. President Trump supports the vaccine. We've got to remember that it was him and Operation Warp Speed that produced the vaccine. So all of you conservatives that are on the sidelines that are attacking him and poo-pooing and saying, oh my God, he's giving in and he's just like giving up and he's taking their side. No, he isn't. You have to remember that he said that he was going to get a vaccine. It wasn't the Democrats, it was Trump, President Trump. However, it was the Democrats who said that they wouldn't trust the vaccine if it came from Trump. there were so many of them that were coming out. And we played this on the show before, and I'll try to play it again tonight, that they were saying, this is crazy. It's not real. It's not realistic. Even Dr. Fauci himself and Dr. Bird, his cohort, they all said that it was next to impossible to get a vaccine within the time frame that President Trump said that he would have the vaccine. They were looking at like 5 years or 10 years. And I get it. That does make sense. But when you look at the vaccine, you look at what they did, they set aside all the bureaucracy and said, hey, we need something to save the people. Now, this is not, so because I don't want you guys to get confused, this is not me trying to push the vaccine on you or to get you to take the vaccine. I just want everyone to remember who came up with the idea of a vaccine, and that was President Trump. That is a good thing, whether or not you believe in it or not, because they said that it couldn't be done. They, the individuals on the left, the Democrats, the liberal media, and some feckless, swampy conservatives calling themselves Republicans. But contrary to everything that they said, President Trump was able to produce a vaccine working with pharmaceutical companies. Now, it is unfortunate that these companies did not say that the vaccine had come into fruition until after the election. And I think that that was probably designed by them to hurt Trump in the election. And there's just so many other things that when you step back and really look at it, as to what was taking place in 2020 before the election and after the election, there was a lot of conspiracy, a lot of collusion, a lot of cheating, and it all tied into this whole thing with the coronavirus, also known as the China virus. Now, right now, January 2022, if you say anything or have an opinion about the virus or the vaccine, you're subject to being attacked by the left. And it is as if though no one cares, no one, mean people that are in power, they don't care because they want you to keep your mouth shut. Even our justice system, they don't seem to care. They see the injustices that are taking place around the country against individuals who have free think, who just want to say, okay, I just want to know more about this vaccine. They are attacking them in the courts. As I mentioned at the top of the hour when I opened up, the Supreme Court is hearing the legitimacy of President Biden's mandates, voicing healthcare workers that receive Medicare and Medicaid that they have to take the vaccine, wanting companies with 100 or more employees to force their employees to take the vaccine. I heard that Citibank, I think the world's third largest or the fourth largest bank, is mandating that if you don't take it, you're gonna lose your job. You either jab it or you're jobless. This is America. Can you believe this? This is America. And if you don't acquiesce, you lose your livelihood. Now, I could see this taking place in a third world country, but a civilized country, a country with educated people, and it's not just the United States. You look at Australia, look at what's happening there with the tennis player, Djokovic. He got an exemption from taking the vaccine because he had already had COVID. Now he's there to play, and they're saying, no, you can't play. You've got to isolate. So they have him held up in a hotel. People are going nuts over this virus. And it begs the question, what is it that they know that they're not telling us? Is there something here that we all need to be made aware of? We can't trust the CDC because Rachel Walensky and Dr. Fauci, they're not on the same page. She's saying that if you get the virus, stay quarantined for 5 days and then come out. He's saying, no, stay in for 10 days. And then she'll say 10, he'll say five. It's like, well, why are you changing? Well, we need people to go back to work. Well, we always needed people to go back to work. But now that you've scared everyone and told them that if you even open your front door, the virus is going to grab you and you're going to die, people don't want to go to work. And can you blame them? And these are educated people that are afraid. Everyone is afraid, and they're assuming, they're putting all of their hope in a vaccine, that they're thinking this will do it. Maybe it will, maybe it won't. But what about the monoclonals that are out there? Preventative measures, exercising, eating right. What about a medicinal medicine that will keep you from getting the virus? I know they said that Pfizer has come up with some pill, and it's a red pill, by the way. I thought that was interesting, the pill that they've come up with that you could take to ward off this virus is out there. It happens to be red and not blue. Why isn't that being pushed more so? The common cold, the flu, anything that ails you, you could go to the pharmacy and get something over the counter. You have a headache, Tylenol, Advil, Aleve, what have you. But for this virus, they're telling us absolutely nothing other than you've got to get the jab. This is the reason why people aren't comfortable taking the vaccine. Now, not to mention that there are some individuals who have had side effects to the vaccine, children, adults, but we can't talk about it. We can't discuss it. We have to see it and then move on. Why is that? Why is there a secrecy or a shroud in what's happening? When people die of the flu, people talk about it. Did you take the flu shot? Did you not take it? Even with cancer, people talk about it, preventative measures. But with this virus, we can't say anything. It's just walk straight ahead. Don't look to the left. Don't look to the right. Don't look in back. Just keep looking forward and then give us your arm. And if you don't, you will lose your livelihood. When you have large corporations like banks, financial institutions that are mandating that workers get this vaccine, why? All because there are other workers here. They're afraid that they might get sick. And we're trying to, you're trying to what? People are going to get sick regardless, because even with the vaccine, you still have to be tested. Why are we putting or forcing individuals to get this vaccine? Now, if President Trump were in office, would there still be a push? Or is it that the overlords are trying to show us that we control you, you don't control anything? What we say goes. We have to ask that question, and it's a fair question. Why is there a push to get people to take something that they don't feel comfortable with? And you have to think about it, that when you're forcing people to do something that they don't want to do, they're going to build up that resistance and say, I'm not going to do it. I think 60% of the population now have been vaccinated. Of that amount, that percentage, how many have gotten the virus with all their vaccinations? And if you listen to the left, they will tell you that it's Trump supporters that are resistant to the vaccine. No, that's not true. I took the vax. I have an underlying health condition that's in remission. There are plenty of others that have taken the vax. So I think it's a combination of conservatives and liberals, but they won't focus on the liberals that don't want to take the vax. And included in that population are Blacks that don't want to take the vax. Can you blame them? When it's the CDC that's pushing this, the same CDC that from the 1930s or 40s up until the 70s was injecting Black men with syphilis and telling them we're going to find a cure, and they weren't doing it. So of course there's going to be a hesitancy on the side of Blacks. How can you make them feel comfortable when in the very onset of the vaccine, you had other Blacks like Joy Reid, Kamala Harris saying, I wouldn't take this vax if it came out under President Trump. And now all at once you want to flip the script? They don't know if you're lying to them or not. And then just recently, in December, Biden decided to say, we want to thank the former president because he also took the booster and the vax. He should have just said he came up with the idea with Operation Warp Speed, but he didn't. But it's mighty interesting that on Jan 6, he found time to viciously attack President Trump for what happened on Jan 6. Now, I'm going to talk about that in our next segment, because there are things that I think people aren't aware of that took place that day and before then. And this whole idea of an insurrection with the government and someone was trying to take over the government and what actually happened. When you look at it holistically as to what happened, you would come to the conclusion that when Trump took office in January 2016, there was an underlying current of individuals within the State Department, within the government as a whole, the federal government, that was undermining his ability to be the president. Because what we have to remember is that although one administration moves out and another administration moves in, there are still individuals, federal workers, that still have their jobs that have been there since the previous administration. They're civil employees. You can't get rid of them. So we'll go into that the next half hour, because I want you guys to think about it and then do your research. I'm a proponent of individuals doing their research. What I say, just don't take it at face value. Challenge me on it. Do your own independent research. But going back to this vaccine and the hesitancy and everything that's around it, because as I said, we were told one thing and we now see that we're up against something completely different. So what I want to play for you now is commentary from Justice Sonia Sotomayor during the hearing on last Friday, when they were presenting the case as to the mandates and whatnot. So what you're going to hear, you will hear her making false statements, and then you will hear Dr. Mark, I think it's Markey, coming in disputing what she's saying with the truth. It's fascinating, because her line of questioning, Sonia, was based on what CNN has been putting out there and Twitter. So it makes you wonder, is she just listening to CNN and reading Twitter to find out anything about the vaccine? Because it certainly appears that way. So again, I'm going to play this for you, and I want you to listen to this. Here we go.
Those numbers show that Omicron is as deadly and causes as much serious disease in the unvaccinated as Delta did.
That's not true. Omicron is more mild. We have laboratory evidence of that. We have epidemiological evidence of that.
We have over 100,000 children, which we've never had before, in serious condition, and many on ventilators.
Well, that's not true. We have not had 100,000 children in serious condition in U.S. hospitals, according to the CDC.
Now, all of her talking points were the talking points of the left, mainly CNN, and what she's read on Twitter. And we had Dr. Marty Markey countering what she was saying with the truth. Now, he's a doctor at Johns Hopkins University. She's not a doctor. She was a lawyer. She's now Supreme Court Justice. This isn't the first time she has come out with a ridiculous line of questioning or making statements. She was appointed to this position by none other than Barack Obama. So naturally, she's going to do his bidding and try to keep our legal system in line with his thought process, which is extremely dangerous and scary. But I was so glad that the way this was juxtaposed with Dr. Marty Markey saying, no, what she's saying just isn't true, especially about the ventilators and children being on ventilators. You can go to DuckDuckGo and see that that's not true. Go to the CDC website, you will see that it's not true. We do not have hospital beds with children on ventilators. We don't even have that now with adults. Now, the number of individuals with the Omicron variant that has increased and people are in the hospital But are they in the hospital because of the virus or another underlying condition? I would submit to you that it's more than likely another underlying condition. But the left isn't telling you that. The media is telling you people are in the hospitals, the hospitals are bursting at the seams because of this virus, because of the unvaccinated. That's just not true. There are more people that I have encountered that have gotten this virus, as I said before, that have had all three shots. Yes, there are some individuals that are in the hospital that never had the shots. There are some people at home right now. I have a friend who was against the vaccines. He caught the virus. So it's they against them. We're creating these wedges in society, another form of segregation. Folks, this is all by design. It is all by design. And what will happen is that you have a lot of liberals going out, taking the vaccine, segregating themselves from the rest of the population. And what population does not want to take the vaccine? Black people, brown people. Yes, there are some white people that want to take it either. But you see what's forming here? An underlying current of segregation. People will forget about it, that it was all over the vaccine, and then they will turn it into, oh, it's about race, which is what the left will do. This is not far-fetched. Again, look at the numbers. Read, do your research. Look at what they're not telling you. This is what it has come to. This is exactly what's happening, unfortunately. You have Sonia, a Supreme Court justice, coming out with disinformation. And what you bet, this won't land up on Twitter. And they will hold this as the goalpost. But what Dr. Markey was saying, speaking truth to power, saying this is not true, you won't even be able to see it or hear it. That is a reason why I'm playing it for you tonight. Because we have to get it out there. Because if we don't, who will? So again, I want you to hear this as we go to commercial break. Here we go.
The unvaccinated has Delta did.
That's not true.
Those numbers show that Omicron is as deadly and causes as much serious disease in the unvaccinated as Delta did.
That's not true. Omicron is more mild. We have laboratory evidence of that. We have epidemiological evidence of that.
We have over 100,000 children, which we've never had before, in serious condition, and many on ventilators.
Well, that's not true. We have not had 100,000 children in serious condition in U.S. hospitals, according to the CDC.
You see, there we go again. I wanted to play it twice for you because I want you to hear this and allow this to marinate and think about it. A Supreme Court justice misleading the people. And these hearings were heard live on audio. Now, maybe she was playing up to the listeners, but not having someone there to challenge her is most unfortunate. So the piece that I played for you, I snapped this from a news org with Dr. Markey countering what she was saying, which is extremely important because a lot of people will hear what she said and freak out. There are hundreds of thousands of children on ventilators. We have got to do better. Elections have consequences, and we have got to think outside the box of the people who are telling us what we need to do because this is dangerous. You look back at history. You look at how Hitler was able to take over, how he was successful. Look at Marxism. We are marching in that direction. Do not doubt me. This is real. And if we don't wake up, we will fall. Folks, you're tuned in to After Dark with Rob and Andrew on the America Out Loud platform. We will be back. I will be back with more after the commercial break. Thank you.
Because of COVID-19, many Americans worry about their health four times a day. That's 112 times per month. But by simply keeping our immune system strong, we can stay healthy and put our worries at ease. One little-known way to do this is by taking AC11, a patented supplement from a plant in the Amazon rainforest. Studied for over 20 years and backed by over 40 scientific peer-reviewed studies, taking AC11 has been proven to extend the life of immune cells called leukocytes, allowing you to boost immunity naturally. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of AC11. That's HealthyCell.com, HealthyCell, and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
Today, America stands at the crossroads of history. Our actions will determine the fate of our nation. Well, that journey starts here and starts now. We invite you to join us in making the ultimate difference. Subscribe to our podcast and newsletters. Turn notifications on and stay in the know. You'll find all that back at AmericaOutLoud.com. Liberty and justice for all.
And folks, we're back After Dark with Robin Andrew. And as I said at the top of the hour, I'm going at it solo because unfortunately my co-host Andrew is sick. Let's pray that he's better. I don't know if he has the flu, a common cold, or as I said, COVID has knocked on his door and has decided to come in. But in any event, let's just wish him well and that he'll be back with us on tomorrow. So when we went to commercial break, I was talking about the virus. You know, everything is about the virus. Virus, virus, virus. We've been talking about this coronavirus for almost, I want to say, almost 2.5 years now. And it's still here with us. And it has a lot of people scared and afraid. And I can understand that, especially the way the media played it up, that this thing could kill you. So the fears are, like I said, I understand it. I get it. But I want to end this segment on this, although I know that we're in the second half of the show. I think one of the reasons why people are so afraid, and when I say people, I want to distinguish that. People on the left, Democrats, because they're the ones who are just completely afraid. They don't want to talk to even their own parents or children. Don't come in here if you have the virus. Don't come in here if you haven't been vaccinated. Although they were told that if you wear a mask, just wear a mask for a certain amount of time to level this thing off, and then we can go back to normal. And then it will stay inside, we can go back to normal. Then forego all the Christmas, all your holiday gatherings, and we'll go back to normal. Then it came to take the vaccine, we'll go back to normal. And now we see that with the vaccine, we still can't go back to normal. I think one of the reasons is that, if you recall, Joe Biden, when he was running for president, well, I don't think he was even running, he was hiding most of the time. But when the media was running his campaign for the presidency, he told us all that he was going to get rid of this virus, and it didn't happen. And while they, the liberal media, won't remember it or show you the videos of him saying it, they will deny it and say he never said that. I will show you the videos because I capture the videos. And without further ado, we have Joe Biden back in October, I think it was October 30th or September 30th, 2020, in Minnesota, saying what he was going to do to the virus. Here we go. Play the tape.
I'm not going to shut down the country, but I'm going to shut down the virus.
I'm going to shut down the virus.
I'm going to shut down the virus. I'm going to shut down the virus.
We'll never, ever, ever quit. That's how we'll shut down this virus.
Well, here it is, January 2022, and he has not shut down the virus. What he has shut down or been successful is shutting down dialogue, conversations about the virus, people wanting to know what exactly is going on. What he has managed to do is shut down a lot of schools because the schools, the teachers are afraid that they could contract the virus. And speaking of the schools, because this is going to dovetail into what I want to talk about and this whole thing with insurrection. But back to the schools. The schools were given nearly $200 billion by Joe Biden administration to open up the schools and to make the schools safe, put up barriers, placards, walls to separate kids, and all this other stuff, get testing kits and masks. Where the heck did that money go? $200 billion. Who's being accountable for that? Especially in the top three big school districts, California, New York, Chicago, not Chicago, but Illinois. I say Chicago because a lot of people think that Chicago is Illinois because it's like one of the largest cities in Illinois. California, Illinois, and New York. Where did the money go? $200 billion. Now, those three just didn't get it exclusively. It was all the different states, but I'm sure they got the lion's share of it because their districts are so large. But where did the money go? Is no one concerned about that? Almost $200 billion. Where did the money go? I'll tell you. You want to know? Well, the money went to toward CRT under the ruse of social emotional learning and went toward probably funding the big cats, the teachers' unions, creating safe spaces for children, creating more segregation, bringing in all of this literature about CRT under the guise of something else, bringing in all this literature that men can have babies, that you're non-binary, you're not a boy, you're not a girl. Do not doubt me on this. Do not doubt me on this. This is truthful. I have heard it for myself. I have seen it. And you know what else? Merrick Garland, as quiet as it was kept, they talked about it all of 2 days. His son-in-law, his daughter's husband, is one of the beneficiaries of the $200 billion. How so? Well, he has a company that creates all of this literature about CRT, non-binary people, transgenders. You're not a girl, you're a boy. You're not a boy, you're a girl. Men can have babies. Look it up for yourself. Merrick Garland's son-in-law. They're the beneficiaries of all this money. So it begs the question again, what happened to the rest of the money? We can't sit idly by and allow these individuals to just take over the country with their crazy ideas. We have got to stand up. You may say, well, what are you doing? What am I doing? I'm bringing you this information. I'm out talking about it, making people aware of it. I need for you to share the broadcast, to get it out there, to keep it going. You look at the left, they are so successful with their videos on TikTok and all these other social media platforms and sharing misinformation, sharing information about men having babies. And I keep saying that because to me, that is completely idiotic. It's crazy. It's insane. But they're putting this before our children and in the schools. That is a reason why. And Biden's Build Back Better bill that they're trying to push, they want to create pre-K for kids as early as 2. I've talked about this before on the show. A lot of parents will say, oh, this is so good. This is a lifesaver because now I can send my kids to pre-K, not have to worry about paying someone a babysitter because they can go here for free. But it's at a cost. And that cost is they're removing the parental guidance from you and giving it to the government. Because once your kids are there, they're going to indoctrinate them and tell them, if you're white, you're bad. The black kids are good. And if you're a little boy, you're actually a little girl. And if you're a little girl, you're actually a little boy. But who cares? You don't have to make up that decision right now. You can decide that later on in life. No, you might have been born. Your parents might have told you that you're a little boy, but you don't know what you are really. That is extremely dangerous. Extremely dangerous because they know that kids' brains are like a sponge. And whatever you tell them, they will start to think that. Now, some of you will say, well, no, because if you know that you're a boy, if you're a girl, that's just going to be it. Right. You're right. I get it. But if you have that indoctrination that's constantly thrown at you, you will begin to doubt yourself. You will begin to feel, wait, maybe I'm confused, which is what they want. So you will have a kid growing up confused, a kid who will grow up with emotional issues, which is what they want. And then they will throw their liberal psychologists and psychiatrists at the kids and tell them, well, maybe you should take hormonal pills. This is what they want. This is by design. They want to create a
society of complete misfits. And they're thinking, oh, no, we're on the cutting edge. You can be whatever you want to be. No, you can't. If you're born a male, you are a male. If you're born a female, you are a female. Look at the chromosomes. When you die, as I've said before, and they exhume your body and perform an autopsy, they will say, okay, this was a boy and this was a female. Now, they probably mutilated their bodies and the genitalia area, but according to the chromosomes, male, female. Something else you got to think about. Do not doubt that in their Build Back Better bill, they're not funding studies to tamper with the chromosomes. That is a reason why a lot of people are against vaccinations, because they don't know what's happening. I get it. I'm not trying to scare you, but at the same time, I am, because I want you to wake up and realize what the left is doing. Never would we have thought something like this could happen. We only read about it in books. It's fantasy, but yet and still, it's at our front door, knocking at our front door, waiting to come in. And the most deceptive ways, and what better way to do it than to start out with our kids in grade school and pre-K, the indoctrination, causing doubt as to who they are. Now, I know a lot of you say, well, I have strong family values. You're right, and you do. But when they're exposed to the indoctrination of the left, it is hard to get that out of a kid. And it's all around you. Look at TV. Look at what they, even on cartoon shows, they have characters that are non-binary. You can't figure out what it is. They've gone as far as to make puppets, Muppets the same way. No, these are cartoons. And they've already started to sexualize them. Sexualizing our kids, exposing our kids to this stuff. I've heard one school district said that they had a book talking about the virtues of oral sex, the virtues of anal sex for kids. What is this? Why are they trying to sexualize our kids at such a young age? This is the reason why when you go to the polls and vote, you have to reject the indoctrination of these lefties. You've got to reject it. And that's not only the lefties. You have some conservatives who will roll over and say, oh, well, let's just let it slide by. Because the only thing they're looking at is power and being able to be on the Hill in Congress and as a senator so they can pontificate their virtues. But as far as being concerned about the direction of the country, they couldn't care less. That is a reason why we have to support candidates who completely and unequivocally support Make America Great Again. You may not like President Trump, but do not doubt his patriotism and the love he had for this country. And that is the reason why I voted for him, not once, but twice. And what you have to keep in mind, folks, is that he's not a politician. He was not a politician when he was elected. So all the missteps, you might have said, well, he did this and he talked too much. That's what we want. We don't want polished politicians who aren't going to tell us the truth like Joe Biden. We don't want that. We want the average, regular, everyday Joe, who's not Joe Biden now. Now, I probably shouldn't even say average, regular Joe. We want the regular man who knows and cares about the country to represent us. Because all these other individuals that we've had out there that are polished, that are primp, they have failed us. They have failed us. Now, something that I alluded to during the first half hour of the show is this whole thing with insurrection. And I said, I wanted to give you something to think about. What I want you to think about, as I had said in the last half hour, is that when new administrations come in, what you have to realize, and some of us don't, some of you probably do, which is good, you need to share this, is that when a new administration comes in, they select people in their inner circle to head different government agencies or cabinet members. But the folks that are already there doing the day-to-day work, they've been there for quite some time. I would gather to say that in this White House administration right now, you have people that are in the Department of Justice, the Secretary of State's office, Homeland Security, all these people dating back to the Clintons and the Bushes. They haven't retired. They have not retired. They're still there making things go on a day-to-day basis. So if they're still there and they got those positions under those presidents, they more than likely share the views and the values of those presidents. So when Trump came in to office, yes, he was able to pick cabinet members and people over the army, the military, the State Department, but the folks doing the work were already there. He did not put them in place. And the folks that he did put in place over them, they didn't put in a lot of the other workers. They brought in their own team to probably head different divisions. But the day-to-day worker bees were already there. So when we start hearing leaks in the Trump White House, a lot of these leaks came from people that were already working there. And you know what else? They probably had contact, direct contact with former staffers of Clinton, Bush, and definitely Obama. So just imagine, you're coming in as a new occupant of the White House. And you're saying, okay, I've got to fill all these positions. I've got to fill the heads, the ceremonial heads of these positions. But behind those positions are workers that have already been there. They're already there with their ideology, with their belief systems. So when Trump came out and said, hey, this is what we're going to do. We're going to clean this up. They were like, oh, no, we're not. We're going to resist. And if you remember, there were many people on the left saying that people that are working in the White House, if you don't agree with him, don't follow his commands. Don't do what he's saying to do. No one said anything about it. We heard that time after time after time. They were telling them, do not listen to him. Do your own thing. Business as usual. Whatever his cabinet members say, don't do it. And remember, Trump said that he wanted to make it easier so that you could fire civil servant staffers because he knew what was happening. He knew what was happening. There were a lot of people working against his team. And not only that, some of the people that he put in those positions, they were working against him also. Mad Dog Mattis. I mean, yes, he was a good soldier, so to speak, but he took the position thinking, well, I'm going to keep him in control. I'm going to make certain he does the right thing. Rex Tillerson, John Kelly. Remember what the UN secretary told us. Remember what she said in her book. She came out and told us that there were certain groups. Nikki Haley, that was her name. I was trying to think of her name. Nikki Haley wrote a book, and she said that there were people in the White House working directly against President Trump. Rex Tillerson, John Kelly, Mad Dog Mattis. They even went to her and said, you have got to help us take him down. Now, there wasn't a lot of attention paid to that. People talked about it and they moved on. But I would encourage you all to look at her book. Now, I know that Nikki Haley came out later on and said some things that we don't agree with. We're like, how could she? She probably wanted to be president. But I would say, go read her book and listen to what she said. Because there were a lot of people within Trump's inner circle that were gunning against him. Look at Stephanie Grisham now. She's just a rattle box for the Jan 6 commission. Oh, President Trump, he was on TV. He saw the people at the White House and he was laughing. Well, I was watching it on TV also and it didn't look that bad. But you see, you have people that are there with designs for themselves. They want to make a name for themselves. And she's one of them. So if you look, go back and look at Nikki Haley's book and what she said about these other three people, top people, John Kelly, who was the chief of staff, Rex Tillerson, who was the secretary of state, Mad Dog Mattis, who was over the military. It begs the question, what the heck were they trying to do? It was an internal coup. That was an insurrection. For 4 years, you have the left with people embedded within Trump's White House, civilians working against him, trying to stage a coup, trying to stage an insurrection. Jan 6, folks, was not an insurrection. The Department of Justice told us that, as well as the FBI. Why the media keeps talking about an insurrection? What they're hoping will happen is that when history is written, they will also say an insurrection, that Trump tried to incite an insurrection, but that's false because there was no insurrection. No one arrested on that day has been charged with an insurrection at this point. Now, I'm sure that there are some in Congress trying to push the folks, the Justice Department, to say someone was trying to be charged with an insurrection. But at this moment, no one has been. They've been charged with trespassing, breaking and entering, occupying a space that they shouldn't, but not insurrection. I think the longest sentence that has been handed down is 5 years. He was charged with trespassing. Nothing about insurrection. So why do they keep saying it? I was listening to Liz Cheney the other day. She was on one of the cable news networks, and she kept talking about an insurrection. And she wasn't challenged on it. The reporter, whom I think was a very good reporter, never said, but excuse me, Ms. Cheney, the FBI has come out and said that there was no insurrection. The Department of Justice has said that. Why do you keep calling it an insurrection when no one has been charged with an insurrection? And she was saying this on a conservative news station. She kept saying it over and over again. And it was by design because she wanted it to get into people's head an insurrection. He should have challenged her. That was his job as a reporter, as a journalist, to say, I'm sorry, Liz Cheney, why do you keep saying it, calling it an insurrection when no one has been charged with an insurrection? The Department of Justice has not said it was an insurrection. And the FBI has said that it wasn't an insurrection. Why do you keep saying an insurrection? That's a fair, legitimate question. And here's the other thing. A lot of folks on the left, they attack the conservative news wings and say, well, why won't they come out and just say what it was, if this was a takeover? Well, let's just think back. 2016, up until 2020, that's all we heard was Russia collusion, 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 every day, day in, day out. No one has been charged with Russia collusion because there was no Russian collusion. But if we dare say that it wasn't an insurrection, we are attacked viciously. We are shut down by social media. But why? This is what the right news has got to come out and say. Conservative news angles have got to start coming out and being forceful and saying, wait a minute, this is a complete double standard. For 4 years, you guys said collusion, collusion, collusion. And the moment we say that it wasn't an insurrection, you say that we're un-American, and you say that we're just alkalized to President Trump. That is wrong. It is time to stand up and call it what it is. The insurrection and the collusion happened on the side of the left. And I just presented to you how it took place. Embedded within the walls, when Trump was president, were individuals who were already there against him, working against him, defying everything that he tried to do, leaking information to the left, and then they would blow it up. They knew exactly what they were doing. And you know why they're doing it? Because they know that you, the American people, are completely unaware of their tactics. But I am presenting it to you tonight. I am showing you, I am telling you what it is. A new administration comes in, they don't fill all of the jobs. There are certain individuals that have already been there and they will continue to be there. And those are the individuals working against the Trump administration. Prove me wrong. Prove me wrong. You can't. Because it's the truth. Do your own research. Look at folks that have been there for almost 2 decades, still working, waiting to retire, of course. But while they're there, working against that president at the time, which was President Trump. And now Biden, an old senile man, is there. And what is he doing? Destroying the country. Every chance he gets, destroying the country. With his lack of policies and the policy that he had, are completely against the country. Letting in illegal aliens. And people, oh, well, that's okay. Why can't they come? You know, we don't own America. What do you mean? As an American, you have rights. You can't go to another country and start voting and thinking that you could take over. Why here? And then this whole argument is that, oh, well, the white man took it from the Indians. Again, I have debunked that. I don't want to hear it because we have been paying for that crime since for God knows how long. When you take a child to court and you are awarded compensation, it stops right there. It doesn't continue perpetuity. It ends. But for some reason, we're going to continue paying these people. This has got to stop. It has to stop. It has to stop. And we have got to wake up and realize what we're up against here. And it is a bunch of craziness, a bunch of craziness that's being supported by the left. And we have got to call them out. Now, I want to play another tape for you guys, video rather. And this is on Kamala Harris, because, you know, as of lately, she's been having a lot of problems in the position that she's in as resident, vice resident. The first video I want to play is of Simone Sanders, who so eloquently said, now she used to work for Kamala and she's since stepped down because Kamala is a mean boss And the left doesn't want to call Kamala out on it. They want to play around with it because they say she's a woman of color. I don't care if she's a woman of non-color. If you're horrible at the job, you need to be called out. But I digress. I want to play Simone Sanders and her calling out Joe Biden, a white man, and saying that the Democratic Party doesn't need him, followed by a tape of Kamala calling Joe a racist. So let me just get this up here. Here we go. Because these things, to me, they're all important when we're looking at what's happening up here. Here we go.
We don't need white people leading the Democratic Party right now. The Democratic Party is diverse, and it should be reflected as so in our leadership and throughout the staff at the highest levels.
I will point out, though, another white man.
There you go. Simone Sanders saying that the Democrats don't need another white man at the party. And this was back in, I think it was 2019, I think it was, when she was supporting Bernie Sanders. Now, I want to play for you the tape of Kamala, because to me, this is a tell-all as to the hypocrites that they are. And in this was during the debates, and she was calling out Joe and saying that he was a racist. And I think that's probably one of the problems that at least Jill has with Kamala, that she called Joe a racist. And I don't think she has Jill, that is, let that live down yet. So I'm going to play this and then we're going to wrap things up. But I just got to get this in there because I find all of this interesting when you're dealing with the left and how they lie, cheat. And it's unbelievable. Because they will say that it's the right that we are racist, when in actuality, they are the racist. So here we go. I want to cue this up because I want you guys to hear this.
Individuals who made it their life works and built their reputation off of segregation of the races in the United States. That's a problem.
There you have it, folks. I wanted to get that in there because it's just part of my entire theme as to what I'm talking about with the insurrection. With people who were there working, who worked against President Trump, and then people who are saying that he's a racist when in actuality, they're the true racist. So here you have Kamala at the time calling out her now boss as being a racist. Now, the noise you hear in the background, folks, I'm in New York City and the city never sleeps. So you're bound to hear any amount of noise, but I'm going to continue on. So I want to end the show and just say to you all that, you know, we have to forever be watchful, be tuned in as to the games that the left is playing, from the virus to the whole idea of an insurrection. They're using scare tactics. They want you to believe what they're saying is truthful and it isn't. And it's all by design for them to take over. We have to be careful. We have to stand together. We have to make certain that our voices are heard in a respectful, legally way. I know some of you are ready to go out there and just start fighting. No, that's not the way to do it because, unfortunately, they control the judicial system. And because of that, we would lose. We have to hit them with the vote. We have to put in candidates that we know to be true conservatives. And we can't have the bickering amongst each other over one little item, like the whole thing with the vaccine and Trump. Well, I'm not going to vote for him because he's pushing the vaccine. Please don't let that be the hill that we die on. We've got to look at the greater good. Because if we have a candidate who's supporting that, but it's looking at the whole picture as to where we want America to go, we need to get behind that candidate and not fight against that candidate. I mean, we get so hung up and stuck on, well, he's got to do it my way or the highway on everything. And it just doesn't work that way. We have got to wake up. Now, right now, it looks as if though we could take back both houses in November. But never underestimate the abilities of Republicans to fight against each other and blow the whole thing up. Look at John Thune. I don't know if I want to run again because they want Trump back into office. Well, you knucklehead, who else is going to be in office? Liz Cheney? And we know that she's not for us. She or Adam Kissinger. And Adam Kissinger, he's thinking about running for president. And wouldn't you bet you would have some conservatives supporting that guy? Knowing that he has no chance in heck of winning. That would be just a present for the Democrats. We've got to wake up. We have got to wake up and say, well, there are some things that I might not agree with you on. But for the most part, you want to build America back. You want to make America great again. And that's what I like. Making America great again. I like that. And that's what we need to focus in on. Because if we don't, if Joe is successful in getting his agenda across, the country will fall. It will fall. You look at Russia, look at China, they're waiting for us to fall. China wants to take over the world. And remember, Joe said that, oh, don't worry about China, they're nothing. People, don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. Look at what's happening. Be aware. Start looking at these candidates and supporting the candidates. That's all I have for tonight. Thank you for tuning in. Like I said, we wish the best and our prayers are with Andrew, that he's better and that he's able to come back on tomorrow night. But until such time, as he always says, stand for something or fall for nothing. If you're not standing up for what's right, you're subject to fall for anything. God bless. Be safe. See you tomorrow night. Thank you.